you know, people say, you know, they're the next generation. They're the now generation. They really are. Do you realize a lot of these people on this video we saw, they're people that we've invested in at Hope Church. And we're taking 18 people from Hope Church back to Costa Rica this June. And here's something, we never really do this, but I'm going to do it today. If you want to help us bring practical things to Costa Rica, they said, we need pencils, erasers, backpacks for the little kids. Kids would love to have candy. Kids would able to do this. So Sharon put in our cart on Amazon. She says, hey, Jim, can you look at this? I'm buying it for the kids. I pull up. I said, the grandkids? No, not another cart of $1,000 worth of stuff. And she said, no, the kids in Costa Rica. I said, how are we going to pay for that? She said, I'm going to ask the church if they would like to help do that. And so she's teaching kids. So on behalf of Sharon, here's the bottom line. 18 people are going, which means about 200 and some people aren't going. If you would like to help, go to Costa Rica in the form of an eraser, a pencil, a backpack, candy for a little kid to make their face smile. You've got that opportunity. It's super easy. Just go to the app and write on your, you know, the little line there, Costa Rica, and you can help out. By the way, I know Destiny graduated this week and those guys graduated. Next week is graduation Sunday. So we're going to be honoring all those who've graduated. It's super exciting to be part of Hope Church and what God is doing. So last week, Mother's Day, the week before, remember Pastor Kevin talked about the story, and the story is a book that we're going through. If you're here the first time at Hope Church, you can grab a storybook on the way home, 31 chapters, taking us through the Bible in chronological order. It's just been great. And last time he talked about God's people were split into two kingdoms, 10 tribes of Israel on one side and then two tribes on the other side. So it's called Israel and Judah, and both of them got taken over. On the north, they were taken over from Assyria, and on the south, they were taken over by Babylon. And it's like, God, wait, what? Why did you let this happen? I mean, you called these people out of Egypt. You've blessed them immensely. Now they've risen up, and they are the people of God, representing God. And now they've split. There's two sides, and they have been taken over. God divided his people because they were sending the wrong message. They were not following God, and they were living against God's plan. As we've seen through the story, what God is trying to do is to woo, come back to me, come back to me. So at this point in history, there have been 19 kings over a period of about 208 years, and God is using different prophets saying, come back to me, come back to me. And if you're in the story where we are, you read about Hosea. God says, marry a prostitute because I want the children of God to realize I'll take you back no matter what you've done. And then there's another prophet that you read about, and his name is Elijah. And Elijah is a powerful man of God. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah tells Ahab, who is the king at that time, you're completely rebellious against God. You're leading God's people astray, and because of that, there's a famine. After we have our talk, it's not going to rain for 3 years. That day, fast forward 3 years, during that time, no rain. So Elijah then again comes to Ahab, and that's where we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 19. When Abraham saw him, speaking about Elijah, he exclaimed, So it's really you, you troublemaker of Israel. Let me just tell you something. If you're really going to follow God, all of a sudden you're on the outside. If you're going to speak the truth of God, you're probably going to speak against the highest authority in the land. Because the highest authority in the land has the most influence in the land, and many times the enemy will use the person in charge because everybody else has to follow. And that's exactly what happened here. He says, oh, yeah, you're the troublemaker for all of us. And I love how bold Elijah is. I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers. You have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshiped the images of Baal instead. Oh, that we could use a little more of that in love in our Christianity. I'm not the troublemaker. I'm sharing with you that God loves you and has a plan for your life. God wants his people back, Ahab. And you have led them away to do detestable, detestable things. As a matter of fact, this is what the Bible says about Ahab. No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel. His worst outrage was worshiping idols just as the Amorites had done. The people whom God had delivered or driven out of the land ahead of the Israelites. So there was a super wicked people. God drove them out so his people could have rest and find God. And then because of Ahab, the very people of God worshiped the gods of the Amorites. And yet it's real easy to say to Elijah, what a troublemaker you are. Elijah has just about had enough of it. And he says, okay, it's a showdown at OK Corral. 12 noon, you and me, let's do this. And so Elijah talks to the people. Listen to what he says here. Then Elijah stood in front of them. This is 450 prophets of Baal, Ahab, and the children, God's children, who aren't following God. They're going their own direction. Here's what Elijah says. How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. You know, the world today hobbles between opinions. Our government today hobbles between opinions. But in reality, just as is written here, is the same thing that is true today. There are not multiple opinions. There's God's way that leads to life. God's way that leads to caring about others as you care about yourself. There's God's way that says we treat others, we honor life. And then there's other ways. Lots of other ways. But God never said to me, Jim, could you help interpret the clarity of Scripture in the context of your life? He never said that. And what was happening to God's people is because the people in charge were leading God's people astray, they weren't experiencing the blessing of God. They were being annihilated by the very people that God had said, you're not going to take my people. And there's this battle. There's always been a battle because God has a plan for us to care for us, to lift us up, to give us life, to give us hope. And the devil hates God. And he'll do anything and use anybody he can to curse God and the ways of God, even to the point where the king will say to Elijah, who is a man of God, "You are rotten." And Elijah, he stood strong. Next, he says, "All right, here's the showdown. Bring your 450 prophets, and I'll be on the other side. Bring two bulls. Have them ready for sacrifice, and build an altar out of wood. Put your bulls on that altar, and then let's both pray. If your God is God, ask your God to light that wood on fire and receive the sacrifice. If my God is God, I'll do the same thing. Deal? We're in." Elijah says, "Great, you go first." They get it all ready. And then they start to call out to their God. And they start to call out a little louder to their God. And then they start to do like moves for God. You know, they're starting to grooving and moving and doing everything they can. And this is what happens in societies that turn away from God. One thing isn't working. So we go to another thing. And then we go to another thing. Then we go to another thing. And then we go to another thing, and we get so far away from God that we actually hate the things of God. And Elijah, being the man of God, but also needing God, has had enough. And we pick it up right where the Bible says in chapter 18, verse 27. About noontime, Elijah begins mocking them. "Have you to shout louder?" he scoffed. "For surely he is a god." And then Elijah just goes. I mean, he's sick of this. God's people are being destroyed. God's people are being taken as slaves. God's people are no longer living as God's people, but under the bondage of leadership that's leading them a wrong direction. And he says to them, "Perhaps he is daydreaming." He's yelling this to the 450 prophets and everybody else who's seen it. And then he says, "Or is relieving himself. Did you just say their gods are going to the bathroom?" And I kind of like Elijah. Wait a minute. Maybe your God is on a trip and he's gone. Or maybe he's asleep and he needs you to shout louder to wake him up. So they shouted louder and they followed their normal custom. They cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of evening sacrifice, but there was still no sound, no reply, no response. Because dead gods don't work. Because dead gods don't work, we get more extreme. I've seen a lot of things change since I was a kid. A lot of things changed. And we, when I was a kid, we had sports, and then we had extreme sports. And we had phones that hung on a wall. Now we have like mega computers on our phones. When I was a kid, we'd go to the library and look through microfilm to find something. Now nobody's ever heard of that. When I was a kid, we had an 8-track player and reel to reel. And you had to stick a book of matches in the 8-track player to make it so, you know, you could hear your music and it didn't like skip. And when you had a cassette tape, you're like, "Oh no, the tape player ate it." So you would take it out gently and wind it with the back of a pencil, then put a piece of tape to get it together. Now we don't do any of that, but here's what else we've lost. When I was a kid, you had crooked teeth, but we had straighter morals. Now we have straight teeth and crooked morals. And it keeps getting worse. And for me to stand up here and say, God created men and women, and I don't want to lie to the teenagers. I've said that before. I can't tell you to serve God now. And he's going to trust, he'll be trusted for eternity if I said, I'm sorry, he made a mistake in your identity. You think, Jim, what are you? Are you a hater? No, I'm a lover. I'm tired of kids getting messed up and committing suicide. I'm tired of people saying that the things of God don't work when they do. I'm tired of society saying that I'm a hater. I'm not a hater. I love God. I love our teenagers. I'm tired of saying it's okay to watch a male compete against women in sports when physiologically there's no chance that a woman will ever beat a man. Just doesn't happen. But Jim, you're a hater. I'm not a hater. I love people so much that I'm going to share the truth. We need to love one another. We need to care about each other. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that whether you're short or tall or skinny, or a little heavier, or you have gray hair or no hair, or whatever that thing is, the Bible says you matter. But you see, our society says you matter if you look this way. You matter if you do this. You know, we used to use stuff and care about people. Now we use people and care about stuff. But it didn't start here. It started back here. Started way, way back. They actually sacrificed children to their gods. Literally took a beautiful baby and threw it into the fire. Come on. That's not right. And there is a God. There's a God who cares. And what Elijah has done, he's saying, your dead gods don't work. But if there is a God, if there is a real God, a God who wants to bring his people back to him, why? So they can receive the blessings of God. There is a God. Then Elijah said, I built my altar of wood. Now fill up 4 jars with water. Pour the water over the offering on the wood. So they did that. And he said, do it again. Go fill up those jars and fill them. See, here's the problem with the church. We can talk about what's wrong, broken, and doesn't work. And a lot of churches are condemning, and I'm not condemning anyone today. But then there's this other point when we talk about what's good and what really could be. And what does a fulfilling life look like? A lot of people in debt. Why? Because one more thing is going to make us happy. And one more thing isn't what makes us happy. A lot of people went into deep depression during COVID. Why? Because we actually need one another. We actually need human interaction. And COVID has kind of rocked us. I was very sick. My wife was very sick. It reminded me, Jim, what matters? What matters is knowing God and walking in the blessings of God. That's what matters. And reminding you that you are of value. You are of value. You actually can trust God. But if you're going to do that, at some point, you got to walk against the grain. You got to walk against even sometimes what those above us are saying. You're like, Jim, are you getting political? No. I'm actually trying to be biblical. God created us to be in relationship with Him and in relationship with one another. It's a great gift. And it's a gift where you can go to bed at night and actually sleep, because you're not filled with anxiety and filled with angst and filled with all kinds of things. Elijah says, fill the jars again. Now, after the second time, I want you to do it a third time. There's water leaking out all over everything. You got all the 450 prophets standing over there going, well, hope he does something. I'm kind of bleeding. I'd like to get a Band-Aid. I'm tired. I've been dancing and hopping. Tired. God's chosen people, the children of Israel, they're not saying a word. Deep inside, they want to know if God's real. Deep inside, we want to know if God's real. Deep inside, we want to know if there's an answer beyond ourselves. Elijah prays a simple prayer. O Lord, answer me. Answer me why? So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. God, I'm doing this. Why? Because these are your people. You delivered them from Egypt. These are your people that you want to bless. These are your people that you care about. And I know Hosea married a prostitute in chapters to come, because God said, I don't care where you've been, I care about your next step. God wants to be in relationship with you so much. I love that next verse. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. He even licked up the water in the trench. All right, picture if you're right there. You'd have done this too. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, He is God. Yes, oh, the Lord is God. Well, hello, if you would have seen that, you would have had an attitude adjustment right here, right now as well. Well, Ahab's sad now. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Honey, you won't believe this mean man. I stood up against him, but this is what he did. He killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sends this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me. You mean the gods that didn't show up for your 450 prophets? Or even kill me, if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you have killed them. And then this is so odd, what happens next. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Wait a minute. You just owned 450 prophets and brought the people of God back to God. And one vexed woman has you running for your life. Is that even possible? Guys, don't be shaking your heads. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And the scriptures goes on and it says, then Elijah went on alone into the wilderness. Traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Here's what he was saying. God, all I want to do is bring your people back to you. God, all I want to do is to give people hope. All I want to do is to get your people back into your blessings. They've been taken by the Assyrians. They've been taken by the Babylonians. They're being treated as servants and slaves and as squander when they really are the children of God. And he said, it really didn't work for long before. I mean, you had Moses and Aaron and Joshua, and your people have this propensity to go back to the ways of the devil. He said, I'm done, just kill me. Wow. Here's a takeaway. There comes a time for all of the people who serve God, even a leader like Elijah, to rest. You can't let your doing get in front of your being, and he needed rest. Bible goes on to say, then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, the angel told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. What he didn't realize, and have you ever felt that? I'm trying to serve God, but it's so hard, and God, are you even with me? And I don't know why he didn't ask the question, where did this bread come from? And this water, it like just showed up. And then he slept again. Then the angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey of ahead will be too much. This is such a beautiful account of how sometimes life and sometimes ministry goes. If you're going to really follow the Lord, there'll be days you're tired and you need to rest. We need to rest our bodies. So he rested, and then he took off to Mount Sinai, which is called the Mountain of God, and he camps there in a cave. But you see, there's more than just rest for your body. There is rest for your soul. And how does that happen? It happens when we pause and allow God to speak to us. It happens when we pause and we refocus. And it's so interesting here how God talks to Elijah. God speaks, it says this, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. So imagine Elijah standing there, and God speaks to him. He says, I want you to go stand right here. And the Lord goes by. And there's like a crazy wind, so much that like, you know, there's fireworks going off on the mountain and rocks are flying and everything's going. Then after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. So there's wind and there's all this crazy. And then the ground starts moving and it's like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Oh no. And then there's this fire. And then there's crazy fire going on. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Hey, Elijah, no wind, no earthquakes, no fire. You've been working hard. Let's not put your doing in front of your being. Elijah, let's refocus and let's calm your soul and gently meet together. Let me connect you, Elijah. You've had rest for your body. Now let's just gently talk. And I want to give you some soul food, some food for your soul. When Elijah heard that whisper of God, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I've been zealous and I've served the Lord, the God Almighty." In other words, God, you know me. Look inside of me. Oh, I'm a zealot for you. I've done everything you wanted me to do. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Have you ever had, just once, a woe is me moment? Oh God, why me? Right? Oh God, are you even there? I'm the only one. I'm so alone. There's no one. Are you even there? That's a time where you don't need just to rest your body. You need to rest your soul. You need to allow the Lord to build you up. That's what our young people said. Man, I had conflict at work and this going on and didn't even realize this is what I needed, and it's lifted me up. They had all week not only In-N-Out Burger, but they had soul food. They had too much In-N-Out Burger. And I'll tell you another thing that brought them closer to Jesus. It was me driving in California. I thought it was almost a Pentecostal revival in there. Oh, Lord, that's okay. This is how we drive in California. You do it, and then you think at 90 miles an hour with 14 lanes of traffic. This is what I love about God. He didn't say, "Elijah, are you serious? Are you kidding? Look what I just did. Look what I just did." God said, "Elijah, can we talk? I want you to refocus. I want to replenish your soul." God, the scripture goes on and reminds him, "Elijah, you're not the only one. Check this out. There are 7,000 others who haven't sold themselves out to the world. They're still followers of me. And by the way, there's this young guy. There's this young guy named Elisha. Oh, and he's going to be a powerhouse. You're modeling for the next generation. You're not alone. Elijah, let's talk. Let me replenish your soul." And oh, I love what happens in the next verse. Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came." It's not time to run. It's not time to hide. I've not only given you rest and refreshment for your body, I have had you refocus and I've replenished your soul. Now I'm going to release you back into the work of me. I'm going to release you back to where you left off because there's still more for you to do. I love this. He had a bad day. He thought he had a bad life. And God said, "I love that. Because I love my people, because I want my people to come to me, because I don't want my people to be beat up by the world, I'm going to send you right back to where you were. I'm going to release you back into mission." So Elijah, he goes back to Ahab. And I love this is how Ahab responds. And there will be a day when you're going to be persecuted for your faith if you have real faith. I'm not talking about if you're being a punk and you have an attitude and someone says, how can you be a Christian? That's just you and me. We're being a punk and that happens. Have you ever done that? I did when I was working in California. I was reading my Bible, having a good time, and I was reading Revelations where the blood of the wicked will be crushed down and the blood will flow as high as the bridle of a horse. And my boss was a jerk. He was always a jerk because I was a believer. But I had one of those moments. I said, look what the Bible says right here. Guys like you, you're going to be crushed. And your blood's going to be so crushed, it's going to raise up to the bridle of a horse. That's how God loves you. And I walked away. I'm like, Jim, you're so stupid. So I apologized to him. It wasn't like I wasn't doing my job. I was. But that's not being persecuted. That's just being dumb. And we hear over and over and over again that Christians are dumb. And through the years, the church has done many dumb things. But don't judge me today by saying that God created you beautiful. Don't judge me today by saying you're challenging the very creator of everything when you pick up a lie and don't trust what God says. Don't judge me today. Because I'm telling the truth. Because that's exactly what happens to Elijah again. The Bible says, so my enemy, you have found me, Ahab exclaimed to Elijah. Yes, Elijah answered. I have come because you have sold yourself to what is evil in the Lord's sight. In the book of James, it says very few of you should become teachers. Very few of you should become the people who leads God's people because you have a much stricter judgment. And so this is a time when there's no more time for Ahab. I have come because you have sold yourself to what is evil in the Lord's sight. So now the Lord says, I will bring disaster on you and consume you. I will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. And then just a little while later, he gives it. And by the way, for your sweet wife, here's what's going to happen. And regarding Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will eat Jezebel's body at the plot of land in Jezreel. The members of Ahab's family who will die in the city will be eaten by dogs. And those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. You know who takes sin super seriously? Is God. Do you know why? Because he allowed his son to die for all of our sins. And he doesn't want to be mocked. He doesn't want us to say, oh, this is right, when it's absolutely not right. And in these days, they said it's right to sacrifice your baby. Sacrificing a baby has never been right. Choosing to love the ways of evil has never been right. But who will continue to stand for the ways of the Lord? Let me wrap things up. Just my kind of last notes. Ahab, you still hobble between two opinions. Modern church, it's easy to hobble between two or three or five or six opinions. There are a lot of ways to think, but as your pastor, I'm going to choose God's word, whether it's popular or whether I go to jail for it. And I'm not being proud right now. I fear the day I meet God. And he says, Jim, you've lied to my people. I'm not doing that. I love you guys so much. I'm not against anybody or against any lifestyle. What I'm against is the devil trying to tell us that things that are wrong are right, and then we get crushed by the consequences. Have you ever been there where the enemy has tricked you into doing something and it was right, and then you realized it wasn't right, and you had to bear the consequences that you wished you would have never had to bear? So there is a point where we have to stand up for right and wrong. Not your opinion, but God's loving opinion that brings life, not condemnation. That brings life, not condescending, looking down at people, which church people can do. There's a way that brings life. And there's a way that brings healing to brokenness and a better plan and a way that actually moves us towards heaven. And the other takeaway is there's times where if Elijah needed rest, maybe we do too. If Elijah needed to refocus and recalibrate in the Word of God, maybe we do too. And then there's a time where maybe some of you feel like, God will never use me again. He will use you again. And He wants to recommission you to follow Him. Because there's such a beautiful work to do when we get to share God's love with other people. Zach's going to come and close out the service. Let me just say this real quick. I'm excited about this summer. I'm going to kind of practice a little bit of what I'm preaching. I'm going to take a little time to rest, a little time to reflect back in God, and then take a little time this summer to be replenished and refocus to come back and hit it hard in the fall with Hope Church. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but I'm so excited about what God is doing in you and Hope Church. Let me pray for you before we're dismissed. Father, thank you. You recklessly and relentlessly want to love us. And God, it's such a dilemma because we want to be in your blessings. And how many things in this world want to draw us away from you? Lord, I pray that we will know truth, that we will be able to not just know it, but be able to live in it. And God, some of us you've called to speak it. Lord, I pray for each person here that they would have a relationship with you. And God, for those who've been in the battle that they need rest, I pray you'd give them rest. God, for those of us who need refocus, Lord, come and talk to us. Thank you that we don't need to see the fire and the earthquake, but in a gentle way, you want to bring us back and release us again. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. Thank you for everyone here today. God, bless them, keep them. May your face radiate about them, Lord, that we might live in your peace, I pray. Amen.